All right, so I want to go to Matthew chapter 1 for our text. It'll take us a little bit to get there. And I am doing this little mini-series for the last Sunday and this Sunday on Christmas around the world. I got the idea from an article I read that showed up in Christianity Today, last year actually. And so we've decorated the church with our three, our three countries we're going to talk about today. So Vietnam, Japan, and South Korea. So when I thought about this, I thought, oh, I wonder if Daniel has flags for these countries that I'm going to be looking at. And, of course, he didn't have the one for last week. But he did have, he says, so when he came last week, we sat down and I went through the article. He says, oh, I've got that one. I've got that one. So this is the flag of Vietnam. Daniel asked me as we were putting it up, do you think this is a little too commie for church? Well, it is commie, that's for sure. But we're going to talk about Christmas in Vietnam, so it's fine to have the symbol there. We have it in the slide. But I was telling you, I would rather have had the yellow flag with the three red stripes. That's the flag of South Vietnam, which does not exist anymore. But that's not the way it worked out. All right, so what we're going to do is look at these three countries. And really, the message today is the same as the message last week. But what got me thinking about this as I read these accounts is how our culture in the West, so we're going to talk European, American, English-speaking culture, has translated around the world. Obviously, the gospel has gone to these nations. There are Christians in each of these nations, some more than others. But interestingly, Christmas itself has gone there as a celebration outside of the church. So that's what I'm interested in. It's just sort of a curiosity, but it speaks to me about what we're communicating when we communicate the gospel to anyone. As we try to witness to people, as we try to teach them about the Word of God, what are they hearing? So when we're working with people, they have a very vague idea. Like people in our country, you talk to them about Christianity or about the Bible, and you will find out very strange things. I remember our kids coming home from working at McDonald's one time and telling the story of overhearing a conversation from the other kids working there, and somehow they got on the Bible, and they were mixing everything up, getting wrong names in wrong stories and things like this. And it's sort of funny, from our perspective, but the fact is, it's a reflection of dark hearts. And we have dark hearts everywhere in the world. So, along with our own celebrations and our own, rejoicing in the coming of the Lord, and then in gathering of our families. Now, I was lamenting, 2 years ago, we had all of our kids home and all of the then grandchildren home, and it was very noisy in our house, and I loved it. I loved not the whole thing, but I did. I did love that they were there. Okay, and now this year, of course, they can't be here. And in fact, we will have Susan come, but that's it. It's just us four, and even Cullen and Sydney are going. They do have other family members they have to take care of too. So. That's sort of like, not to put any pressure on anybody. Okay. But you see, we're celebrating this season. But let's think about our witness around the world, in our community and around the world. So that's what I'm using this for. So let's just talk about, first of all, I have a proposition. We're going to get to the scripture later. But here's the proposition. The world lies in darkness. Let us be concerned to bring it light. That's my proposition. So let's look at the darkness first. So Christmas in three nations. So first, Vietnam. These comments come from somebody named Sarilyn Tran. Not quite sure. I think I've said that right. He's a lecturer in Christian education at Hanoi Bible College. So, and I don't know if this is a he or a she, says, Christmas is not recognized by the Vietnamese government as an official holiday, but rather a religious event. Workplaces and schools operate as usual. The last week of December is the busiest time for enterprises to close the year and to make final deals while school children take their final exams. So while we're celebrating, those kids in Vietnam are taking tests. So it's probably not that celebratory. However, like in other countries, Christmas is celebrated as a feast. Shopping malls, restaurants, and other public places are nicely decorated. Also, people often gather on big streets or city corners on Christmas Eve. Recently, growing international cooperation among businesses have raised demand for Christmas to be recognized as a holiday, but the communist government is still considering it as it has religious significance. All right, so what we have in Vietnam, of course, we have a country that is a communist, has a communist government. Despite the fact they've opened their borders, there are people who have gone there as missionaries from the West to try to evangelize and start churches in Vietnam, and there are churches in Vietnam. And they are not as closed as the Iron Curtain countries used to be in the past. Nevertheless, a communist government is antagonistic towards anything Christian. And so they do not want to recognize Christmas as a holiday because it has this religious connotation. But isn't it interesting to note, even so, people will still put up Christmas decorations in a communist nation that is basically opposed to Christianity. So that's interesting. But what we are seeing there is that is cultural Christmas. It's not biblical Christmas. And it's not anything like what we would celebrate. But apparently the Christians in Vietnam they make Christmas a two-day celebration. They will attend, they'll have services that run for 2 days and two nights at Christmas. Non-Christians are invited to hear the gospel through the Christmas stories. They make it an outreach effort. And Christmas Eve is usually a big gathering with choirs and bands who prepare as much as 3 months in advance. So they're busy getting ready for this event as a way of proclaiming the gospel. I do think that the Christmas, you know, we used to do Christmas pageants in the church when we were growing up. And our church was very, you know, the way it was set up was suited. You'd have the shepherds and the wise men, all kids dressed up in sheets and stuff. And they would usher in. And I remember vividly they had a couple of the men doing the We Three Kings. So they had these guys dressed up as kings. Then they came up the aisle singing their verse. And so these things remain in my mind. But, you know, it was a thing we would have in our church growing up. We had a wider outreach Sunday school. That we didn't have a bus ministry. We had a car ministry. So various members of the church would go out to the farms and where around our town, bring kids in to our Sunday school. And then in the Christmas pageant, that would bring in parents. They would hear the gospel. So there's something about the Christmas season makes it an opportunity for inviting people to hear the gospel. So that's something that's interesting. It's done in Vietnam, and we will find the same thing done in Japan. The comments here come from Mieko Iwata, Associate Professor of Christian Ethics at Tokyo Christian University. Christmas in Japan is fully established as a Japanese festival, although it is recognized as an event of Western origin. By the Taisho era, which is 1912 to 1926, Santa Claus was already known, and historical documents show that children look forward to receiving Christmas presents. Now, I don't know if you realize, but Santa Claus and Christmas presents are not a part of the original Christmas story. That's just that they come from somewhere else. Okay, in Japan, Christmas is considered a day spent with lovers and friends because of media portrayals that have painted it as an occasion for a romantic night out. And I read somewhere, I'm not sure if it was Japan, it might have been another country, maybe it'll come up in the next one, but it is sort of like Valentine's Day in some of these countries. All right, couples typically have dinner together and give each other gifts. Families gather on the night of December 24th instead. A Christmas Eve dinner without chicken and cake is unthinkable in Japan, probably because of the success of Kentucky Fried Chicken and Kink Company promotions. That's what they say. I don't know. I can't imagine. Oh, Christmas dinner, Kentucky Fried Chicken. That just sounds, somehow that doesn't go together in my mind. Now, Christian churches promote Christmas to celebrate the birth of Christ in Japan. But the comment was made in the article that most secular Japanese are not curious about it. Like, we would promote it, and as we, you know, as we try to bring people into the church and have a connection with the church, you know, I think it's probably true. You get people in, like I was saying, in the Christmas pageant, you know, they're willing to listen to the stories. They're willing to, you know, watch the kids do their thing if they're doing a display on the stage. But it so often doesn't reach the heart. That's what we want. Oh, the flag fell off. We were worried about that. It had already fell down. The commies, you know, it's the commies. What can you say? Okay. They were done with Vietnam. Okay. But where was I? But the thing is that the message, even though we invite, even though we proclaim, it's so hard for people to receive it. They have to open their hearts to it. Holy Spirit has to work. So that was an interesting comment. The Japanese see it as a Western cultural event. Now, services in Japan are typically held on the closest Sunday to Christmas, as it is not a holiday in Japan. And churches in Japan use Western Christian Christmas hymns, like Silent Night and Angels We Have Heard on High and so forth. So it is a part of their culture. All right, so let's go to Korea. Korea is a little bit different from the other Asian nations we've talked about. It is, I'll talk about that in just a moment. Here's the secular part. In Korea, the perception that Christmas is a Western or foreign holiday in Korea remains because there are other traditional holidays like Seolal, Korean Lunar New Year, and Chuseok, Mid-Autumn Festival, in our calendar. Christmas in Korea is celebrated in kindergartens, schools, private academies, and in families, but is often recognized as a day when Santa Claus gives gifts to kids. Also, it is considered a day for young people to confess their feelings to someone or go on a date, like on Valentine's Day. Okay, so that was where that was mentioned, Korea. From whychristmas.com, they say there are more Christians in South Korea, Republic of Korea, than in many other Asian countries, such as China and Japan. So Christmas is celebrated more widely. Christians make up about 25-30% of the population, with about 15% of the people being Buddhist and 56% of the people not having a faith or religion. Unlike Japan, Christmas is an official public holiday in South Korea. So people have the day off work and school, but they go back on the 26th. There's a longer official winter break in the new year. Department stores put on big displays of decoration. There's also an amazing display of lights in the capital city, Seoul. The lights are all over the city center, including the bridges over the Han River. Some people, especially Christians and Westerners who live in South Korea, will have decorations at home, including a Christmas tree. However, I found out in this article that in Korea, apparently Santa is also called Santa Grandfather. So I'm not sure what that means. Now, Christians in Korea often spend time with their church family or with marginalized people, people who are, you know, sort of needy people, I guess is what they're trying to say, bringing gifts and aid. And they will often join together in public Christmas plays, musicals, and singing in the streets. So put on a play in a park or a pageant in the park and use it as an evangelistic tool. The writer of the reporter in the article in Christianity Today is concerned that Christians in Korea make Christmas more than a Western event. Here's what he says. We need to impoverish ourselves voluntarily to reach out to our neighbors who are marginalized, lonely, and discriminated against in society, including immigrants who have recently entered Korea. That is how we can contextualize Christmas and remove the misconception that it is a Western event. So one of the common themes that we see here is that any Christmas celebrations are seen as a Western cultural thing. It's not Asian. It's foreign to them. So it comes from the outside. Most of what they have appropriated are the surface levels of the culture. The lights, the decorations, Santa Claus, giving of presents, those are all surface elements of our culture about Christmas. But, of course, the Christians there have a true understanding of it. And what they use it for is for evangelism. So now I want to talk about Christmas in Matthew. And we're going to read Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. All right. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. All right, so one of the first things I want to note here is that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was a countercultural event. Obviously, Mary's virginity contradicted cultural norms, and indeed even, it seems, the law, as she is found to be with child, and she's not married. This is a very shocking situation. No one would believe her story, I'm sure. How are you going to explain this? How is Joseph going to explain this? Joseph himself, wanting to follow the law, but also not wanting to cause Mary to be executed according to the law, decided he would put her away privately. And so Joseph had to overcome his spiritual understanding, his spiritual instincts, and believe what the angel said to him. You think about that. Think about the situation Joseph is in. If you were in his situation, if you were engaged to this woman, she was visiting her relative, Elizabeth. She comes back, obviously pregnant. What are you going to do? What should you do? And now Joseph has this dream, this vision. The angel says, don't be afraid. Now what is Joseph going to do? He believes the Lord, thankfully. Think about the fact that Joseph is going to have to take on some of the stigma that attaches to Mary because of her situation. But he believes God and goes forward. This is a countercultural event for certain. And then the birth of Christ involved God coming near to man. That's the second thing I'd like to draw your attention to. The meaning of the word Emmanuel. It means God with us. We are probably, I would say, too comfortable in our culture as Christians. You know, we have our own habits. Just thinking about this, last week I talked about the idea of reaching out, using Christmas as a time to reach out. But you know, all through this week, I do not think I actually had hardly any contact with somebody who wasn't a Christian. And I think in our normal daily life, we interact with each other, and that's good. As a church, we should build one another up. But how do we go about meeting people who aren't Christians, and then how do we get the courage to speak up for the Lord? Well, the fact is that the Lord came in to be among us, to be in our midst. Well, he came into our lives so that we could be in this community and have a contact with people who don't know him. How is God going to be introduced to them except through our communicating the Lord Jesus Christ to them? So we need to find ways to reach out. I would say. And the point of Christmas is salvation. His name, his very name, call his name Jesus. That's Yehoshua. Jehovah is salvation. So this is what it's all about. My proposition again is this. The world lies in darkness. Let us be concerned to bring it light. So I think the challenge of this message and last Sunday's message is the same. Always be looking out and thinking how to tell others about the Lord Jesus. And I think that we sort of, I personally feel rebuked as I'm preaching myself actually, that we have not sufficiently made outreach a priority in our ministry. So we need to think about that in the coming year. And also at Christmas time, it's a season that we can naturally use to create a situation or an event or some kind of a means by which we can have contact with people who don't know the Lord. In our calendar, the one thing that we have left this year is the church fellowship. And we've been urging, Colin's been urging during the announcements, invite somebody else to come. If you could get somebody to come, it would be a wonderful thing. Not that we're going to be preaching at that occasion, but we will be Christians having fun together and hopefully meeting some new people. That would be a wonderful thing. If you can think of somebody who might be willing to come, invite them. Even if they're not on the list, you put your name down, I have five coming or I have four coming or whatever you have coming or one, and then you say, oh, but I got this friend, they said they'd come. I didn't sign him up. Don't worry about it. I'll buy too much pizza anyway. Okay? My wife, she does the list all the time. I always buy too much pizza. That's the way I do it. Okay? So, just use this as our last effort for this year to try to reach out to people. If you can think of somebody who might come to a night like that. All right, well, let's close with a word of prayer and we'll finish up for the day. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for how it speaks to our hearts. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world. And Lord, help us to be diligent in presenting him to the world around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.